Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here on Money, Riches, and Wealth. 2 weeks before Christmas. And I had a guest, but I don't have a guest. So I'm on tonight as an open show. And the interesting thing is none of my co-hosts are here tonight. Graham's not here. Alex isn't here. Chris isn't here. Mike isn't here. None of my co-hosts are here. So I am here by myself on an open show. What an open show means is our listeners are our guests. Our listeners get to determine the direction of the conversation. And so if my listeners don't call in and ask me questions, I will be here by myself for an hour trying to fill the air. And there's no problem with that, but I prefer better. It's more enjoyable when we answer your questions and discuss the things that are important to you, be it estate planning or income taxes or 401ks or IRAs or Roth IRAs or investments or Social Security or college planning, you name it. If it has to do with your personal finances, we're here to answer your question. We do the show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional financial advisor should be able to do, and that is deal with all different areas of personal finance without economic bias and selling product or trying to promote some specific concept where they're going to make a commission or referral fees or something of that sort. We believe professional advisors should be broadly knowledgeable about all areas of personal finance, similar to a general practitioner in medicine. You don't want to go to a general practitioner in medicine. All they want to do is make a commission off of selling you Lipitor or something like that. You want a general practitioner who can look and say, okay, this is what I understand going on based on the knowledge I have and based on the technology that we use to analyze this situation. This is what I see going on. I'm a fiduciary. I'm here to work in your best interest. I'm not here to sell you anything. And I'm trained, experienced, and credentialed in my profession. That's what a professional financial advisor should do. How many people work with a financial advisor that have no credentials? They're not CPAs. They're not CFPs. They're not CFAs. They're not CHFCs. They're not PFSs. They have no real credential, and yet there's a lot of people in this industry that have credentials that aren't real credentials. You know, I've seen PMF or something like that, personal manager finances, or, you know, and these are things that you go for, you know, you do like an online class for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and they give you the designation. There's hundreds of those. You have to be very careful. There's only like five that the Maryland Securities Administration recognizes as a professional designation in the industry. That's CFP, Certified Financial Planner, PFS, Personal Financial Specialist, which is under the CPA credential, CHFC, Chartered Financial Consultant, CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst, and I think that's it, unless you get the Series 65. And the Series 65, in my opinion, is not a true credential. It's just a little thing that you can do, and the SEC and the state of Maryland will allow you to be a hold yourself out as a financial advisor. But it's not a real credential, in my opinion, not like CPA or CFP or something of that sort. Anyway, that's what we do on this show, to answer your questions, demonstrating what we believe a true professional financial advisor ought to do. And if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. This morning, I was on with Sean, and I was talking about a thing that I thought was a, you know, finally, we have a simple solution of getting a car transferred to a surviving spouse or surviving or to your children without going through probate. And that's the motor vehicle beneficiary designation, which now can be done online. And we wrote an article about this and gave you the link as to where you can go and find the vehicle beneficiary designation and go through the process to say, you know, if something happens to me, just leave it to my spouse. Don't make them go through probate to deal with this. And we've had numerous situations. You know, I had a very good friend. When he passed away, the only thing he had was a vehicle. And so we had to open an estate for this one vehicle to get transferred to his spouse. This beneficiary designation would have made life a lot easier. And now it's easily available on Maryland's MVA website. If you go to our website, financialconsulate.com, scroll down a little on your right, you'll see the Consulate Journal. And in the Consulate Journal, you'll see the article on MVA beneficiary designation for vehicles. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, I've got Rebecca in Littleston. Rebecca, how can I help you? Rebecca, I guess Rebecca's gone. So we won't go to Rebecca. So I've got about a minute before I have to take my first pause. And if you want to call in and ask a question dealing with personal finances, I hope you'll help me out tonight because I'm here all by myself. And if you have a question, you can call in and ask it, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And, you know, we get a lot of questions on Social Security. That's a big topic, estate planning. A lot of issues that, you know, when we do about, I think it's 75 to 100 financial physicals a year. And we have numerous issues that we constantly run into that, you know, it's amazing how few people realize these simple things that you can do to improve your personal finances. And, you know, one, for example, just today, you know, is auto and home insurance. Most people have, you know, they're trusting their agent to give them the best insurance possible. But, you know, I mean, I have a client, they're worth a couple $1 million and they have auto insurance with $100,300 of liability insurance, no umbrella insurance, and a homeowner's policy with $300,000 of liability insurance. That's insane. That's insane. The agent ought to go to, ought to get out of the business. But you see it all the time, and there's a reason for it. There's an economic bias for property casualty insurance agents, in my opinion, to underinsure people. So anyway, we can talk more about that. I've got a line of people, but right now I got to go to a traffic pause. And Chris, are you ready? I'm going to traffic. Take it away, traffic. I'll be right back. Money, Rich, as well. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we've got people online here. We're going to go to them. Phil in Cadenceville. Phil, how can we help you? Phil?
Call.
Oh, Phil, there you go.
I have some IRA questions.
Go ahead.
I've been retired for 6 years.
Okay.
I have two IRAs, a Roth and a regular.
Okay.
The bulk of the money is in the regular. About $40,000 in the Roth.
Okay.
Here's my question. Every year, I'm forced to take an RMD because I'm 76.
Okay.
I don't really need the money. Is there any way that money can be plowed back into my IRAs, either one, Roth or
no.
the regular?
Are you charitably inclined, Phil?
Not really.
Okay. Well, if you were charitably inclined, you can give your RMD to charity and not have to pay taxes on it. So that's a little trick that anybody who is charitably inclined and you don't need your required minimum distributions, that's a great thing that you can do.
That's
but
a
with,
lot of money to be given up to charity.
Well, you don't have to give it all away. You can give any part of it away. So let's say you're getting $30,000 and you don't need it. You can give $1,000 away if you want. At least that's $1,000 you don't pay taxes on. And so any charitable giving you're doing, even if it's just $2,000 or $3,000, should be done through the IRA. There are some other things you can do. There is what's known as a longevity annuity. You ever heard of that?
No.
So there's a rule in the law that says that you can put away $100,000 of your pre-tax IRA into an annuity and not have to pay taxes on it until you're, I think it's 85 or 90 years of age, something like that. And you don't have any required minimum distributions on it. That's one of the small things you can do. But, you know, most of these longevity annuities aren't paying much. And most of the commissions that some of these guys want on these things are ridiculous. So I'm not necessarily sure it's a great thing. You can't roll an RMD over to a Roth, so, you know, that's not allowed. It's only after the RMD can you convert to a Roth. You could go back to work, Phil, and then you could roll all the money into a 401k and not have to take any RMDs if you want to do that.
My working days are over.
I'm sorry, there's not much else I can do, okay, Phil?
There must be... I've heard some kind of advertisements that an RMD could be plowed back in. Are they really talking about this annuity?
They may be talking about that, but no, there is no way an RMD can be plowed back into anything other than an after-tax account. Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Well, listen, thanks.
All right, take care. Matt in Pasadena, how can we help you?
Hey, how are you today?
Good.
I have a it's a good thing but a bad thing at the same time. I recently inherited an IRA.
Okay.
And it's a pretty sizable amount of money. And my question is that I also read that Congress is about to change the law on the distributions, the lifetime distribution for that.
Well, I mean they've been talking about passing this law for over 6 months now. So, and they haven't done it. They're too busy with more important things. Matt, don't you understand that?
Yeah, we got to impeach everybody. But my question is...
You'll be grandfathered. From what I understand of the law, if you've inherited and you're under the previous law, you'll be under the previous law. Only the new law, which would be a 10-year liquidation, and you don't sound like you're 75 or 80 years of age, so you probably have a 40-year distribution, something in that ballpark, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
And the new law would not affect you. You're under the old law, and you'll stay under the old law, from what I understand of the law.
The other thing that I was wondering, though, is would it be advantageous for me to take the hit on the money and then invest it in something in the stock market, since it's doing so well, and possibly increase the
Matt, value you can invest that inherited IRA in stocks all you want. I don't know where it's invested now, but you can roll it into an account with Charles Schwab or Fidelity and buy any mutual fund, any ETF, any stock in the entire world. So you can invest that aggressively. No, I would not hammer it on taxes and then do that. I would just invest it aggressively and continue to take your minimum distribution per year.
Okay. Thank you for the advice.
All right, buddy. You take care. We're going back to Rebecca in Littlestown. Rebecca, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi, I did not hang up. And what I was calling about was I have a friend and her mother died, and she has not been able to file the taxes yet. Okay, and this has been now like over a year and a half. I think that's a serious problem, isn't it?
When you say taxes, are we talking income taxes for the last return of the deceased or some other type of taxes?
Last return for the deceased, correct.
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, you know, ultimately the personal, did somebody become the executor or executrix of the estate?
And the accountant got sick and didn't like do anything and kept filing extensions.
Well, then the IRS will consider the fiduciary of the state, of the estate, as being responsible and will penalize the fiduciary for not filing that estate tax return.
Correct. Even if the accountant was incompetent, right?
Well, the IRS does give the average person certain exceptions for incompetence of professionals they were counting on. But when it gets to the point that you don't get somebody else to fix it, then you've got a serious problem.
I got you, and that's what I've been telling her. Okay,
yep.
I understand.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Rebecca. We're going back to Lee in Towson. Lee, how can we help you?
Yeah, I'm back to required minimum distributions. I wanted to make a qualified charitable distribution. I had two ordinary IRAs.
Okay.
And one firm on their form, they have a place where they say it's an ordinary distribution, and another place they can check off that it's a qualified charitable distribution. But the other company said it's up to, didn't have any place on their form for that, and they say it's up to me to prove the IRS.
Okay, so let me explain, and both companies are right. Okay, so when you go to your custodian and you say, I want to do a qualified charitable distribution, it is still considered a regular IRA distribution. The company makes out the check to the charity, and that's important that the check is made out to the charity, and then you give it to the charity. But the company will do nothing more than give you a 1099-R at the end of the year saying, Lee, you took $20,000 out of your IRA, even though you might have sent five to charity directly. They'll still just say, Lee, you took $20,000 out of your IRA. End of the story. Regular distribution. Nothing more. No other information on that 1099-R saying you sent any money to charity. It's up to you when you file your tax return to either tell the computer or tell your accountant that you gave $5,000 to charity. The accountant then in the program says he gave $5,000 to this direct to charity. A line is noted under the IRA says QCD, $20,000 distributed, only $15,000 is taxable. Boom. End of the story. Now it's up to the IRS to question Lee if they believe that you're lying about that QCD distribution.
Is this on the IRS, on an IRS form when you put down the amount of the qualified charitable distribution?
It's when you do the income tax return, your 1040. When you do that form, that's when you notify the IRS that you did this as a qualified charitable distribution. And then your custodian will do nothing more than show that you had a check distributed to a charity if the IRS were ever to ask them.
And where do you put it on the 1040?
Well, it's hard to explain. It's line 4A will be the gross distribution that came out. Line 4B will be the net taxable. And in between the three letters, QCD should appear on the tax return. All right.
Okay. That sounds simple enough.
Yeah, but, you know, each company's right. One company says, hey, we're just going to treat it as a regular distribution. The other company's going to have you check a box and say it's a QCD. It doesn't matter. The way it's going to be handled is the same by both. All right, buddy?
Great. Thanks.
All right. Take care. I got to go to another pause with traffic, but we're on an open show tonight. I'm here all by myself. Do me a favor, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question and keep me company tonight, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way jump in the sky, little lamb? Do you see what I see? A star, a star, shining in the night, with a tail as big as a kite.
Yes, that's one of them. There you go. Good job. Anyway, we're here. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, I'm here all by myself. Do me a favor, call in. I've got Tom and Keith on the line. I'm going to them in 1 second. But if you want to call in, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question. You know, but before I do it, just to want to say to you guys that we're doing qualified charitable distributions, remember what I just said to Lee just a second ago, that they just give you a 1099-R saying that you took out $20,000, let's just say theoretically. You took out $20,000. It's just a regular distribution. If you do not tell the computer or you do not tell your accountant that you did a qualified charitable distribution, if you don't remember, you will not get the tax-free deduction of that money. It is critical that you remember and that a QTD is recorded on the tax return. I know this the hard way because I actually made that mistake a few years ago when I did a return and realized after we filed it that the QCD was never recorded. And it's easy to miss because of how they handle it. There's no reporting of it at the time of the tax return. And now we have processes in place in our firm that says we're going to do everything to make sure that it's remembered. So let's go to Tom in Parkville. Tom, how can we help you? Social Security.
Yeah, two quick short ones if possible. First, let's do the medical expenses. If I incur something in December, pay with my credit card, it appears on my bill next month, and I pay the bill next month. When do I take the, when do I include
2019.
Okay.
Well, because you paid the bill in 2019 with your credit card, it's irrelevant when you pay the credit card.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
And matter of fact, if you sign, if you had a medical bill, like a dental bill, and you sign an agreement to pay the accountant over time, you may be able to take the full deduction depending on how that contract is developed between you and the accountant. You know, I mean, you and the dentist. So if it's just an installment payment, but if it's an actual debt that you sign that says, I owe you this money and I'm going to pay it back to you with this interest rate, da-da-da-da-da, you could actually take the deduction in the year you sign that debt. But it depends on how the structure of that is. So, but anyway, what's your next question?
So the key is the date that the charge hits your credit card ledger.
The date that you gave your credit card to somebody and said, I'm going to pay this with my credit card. Now, if you gave it to them on December 31st, but it doesn't record it as a transaction with the credit card company until January 1st, you're going to be kind of, you know, tough luck there. You got to show that you had the incurred the debt, the credit card, in 2019.
Okay. I mean, I'd rather have it for next year, but anyway.
Well, then you could do it next year. Then you can just wait and pay the credit card next year. I mean, you know, give them the credit card next year.
Got you. But if I gave it this year already, done.
It's already done, yes.
Okay. Second, Social Security. My wife's taken Social Security and for a couple of years now. And in the interim, she's still working and earning her best money ever in her career. She has a whole bunch of zeros for early in her 35 years.
Right.
They're being replaced year by year by you know, upper
How
five.
How old is she?
She's 67, 68.
And how old are you?
Almost 70.
Almost 70. And you're collecting also?
Well, I'm getting half of her.
Okay, good. Good job. The answer to your asking is as she continues to work, you don't even have to do anything. Every year that she earns more money, a new high 35 will enter into the computation. In the beginning of the next year, they'll recompute. She doesn't have to do anything. She'll not only get the cost of living increase, but she will also get the new computation increase.
Okay. They do it automatically.
Yes, sir.
Okay, super. Thank you, sir.
But I would always monitor it just to be safe. In other words, if they say they're given a 1.6% increase and you know she added a new high 35, you want to see more than a 1.6% increase on her Social Security check. I would probably look for maybe 3% or something like that. But you want to see something more than the cost of living increase, or then you need to go talk to them.
So check one better than 1.6.
Yeah.
Good idea. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Good question.
Bye-bye.
We're going to Keith in Glen Burnie. Keith, how can we help you?
All right. Hey, Drew. Just want to let you know I really appreciate and enjoy your show.
Oh, I appreciate you listening. That's even more important, my friend.
Yeah. And so my question's probably a dumb question, but are dividends that you earn from stocks still taxed at a more favorable rate than just regular income?
Correct. Qualified dividends are taxed at the same rate as capital gains, which is zero if you're under, are you single or married?
Married.
Married. So if it's under like $80,000, it's 0% tax rate. If your taxable income is over $80,000 but below $250,000, it's 15% rate. If it's over $250,000, it's 18.8%. And if it's over $400,000 and something, it's 23.8%.
Gotcha. So when you look at your 1099-D that you get from the various investments, it's got a line 9A and a 9B, and if it has the same number in both blocks, does it mean anything? Is that qualified or unqualified?
If your number 9A and 9B are both, say, gross dividends 10,000, qualified dividends in the next box 10,000, that means all of your dividends were qualified.
Awesome. Okay. Yep. That's what I thought.
The only time you're going to find non-qualified dividends, okay, is like you have a money market fund. So it's a mutual fund. Anything it distributes is considered a dividend, but it's from interest-bearing securities, and so those dividends would be considered non-qualified. So it's typically you're seeing non-qualified dividends. There's other reasons, too, but the typical is you own a mutual fund. Mutual fund's paying dividends, but the income the mutual fund was making was from non-qualified interest-bearing as opposed to qualified stock dividend-bearing securities. That's the typical.
Okay.
All right? All right, buddy. Good question.
That's where I was getting confused is some of the mutual fund statements I get and ETF funds, some of it where it was not qualified. Okay, great.
All right, buddy. Good question. All right.
Hey, thanks.
We're going to have to go to traffic. Steve, I hope you'll hold with me, and we'll be right back after this pause with traffic. But if you want to get online, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is a very nice song, but it's not one of my favorite. But it's a very nice song. That's okay, though. But you got one out of two. That's not bad. Anyway, we're here on an open show. I've got Steve and Michael online. We're going to go to them in a second. 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. I probably could handle at least one or two more calls before we finalized today. Steve in Windsor Mill, how can we help you?
It's actually New Windsor.
New Windsor.
Yes. 20 miles from Gettysburg.
Right. You got a good beer brewery there.
Yes. Just opened up, I think, a year and a half ago. And they have some fine ale.
My friend Kelly True built the bar and stuff in that brewery.
Wow.
And it was good stuff. He brought me a bottle, and I like craft beers, and I thought some of theirs were excellent. What's the name of it?
Have you been up here?
No, I haven't. What's the name of the beer brewery? I can't remember it either.
I pass it every day going to work and coming
home. It's not Pub Dog or something like that.
Yeah, I think that is it.
There you go. I got a better memory than I think I do.
I think that's it. Anyway, my question is, my wife never worked very much during her life. She was a homemaker, took care of the family, took care of everything. And when she turned 64, we got the Social Security, this is how much you'll get if you wait until you're 70 and a half and all. And it was only like a $200 difference. Now, we have about $64,000 a year in income, and I'm just afraid that.
What's your Social Security? How much are you going to get from Social Security? Are you already collecting?
No.
How much?
I'm waiting until at least 66. I'll be 61 in a couple of months.
Okay.
And I'll be getting about $1,700 a month then. And
okay.
If I wait till I'm 70 and a half, I'll get $2,000. And I'm thinking, is that $300 really? Is that important?
Right.
Anyway,
so go ahead and ask your question.
All right. So. My wife is getting Social Security, but I think we're earning too much money, and we're going to end up paying taxes this year. She's probably going to have to give it all back.
No, she won't. Is she earning money?
No.
So you're only going to – the only thing you have to do with hers is you have to just pay income taxes on it. Worst case scenario, you're going to lose like maybe 20 cents on the dollar. That's the worst case scenario because she doesn't make any earned income. She has to be. It's only earned.
Rental income doesn't count?
No, sir. Only earned income. She has to go to work. She has to get earned income to lose it. Okay?
I see.
So she gets to keep hers, and then when you finally start claiming, she'll get half of yours and get a big boost out of what she's getting herself. But her income's fine. The only thing you have to do is report it as some portion of it is taxable income, and you might lose 20 cents on the dollar on a portion of it, and that's like the worst case scenario.
Okay. Yeah, it's so hard to figure out. It's just like Medicare. She has to go on Medicare. It took me a month to figure out what the heck to do.
Yeah, you got to get a Medigap policy, you got to get Medicare B, and you got to get Medicare D. And you got to choose a drug plan, and you got to check it every year, too. So it's not an easy thing. I agree with you. I don't know. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a funny story on this one, Steve. I have a client who is a former IRS commissioner. I mean, the commissioner, a tax attorney who's the former commissioner of the IRS of the United States of America, right? And I'm sitting there with him, helping him do his Medicare for he and his wife, and I get it all done, and he looks at me and he goes, Drew, how does the average American figure this out? I'm a pretty smart guy, and I could have never done what you just did for me in 35 minutes. And I said, you're absolutely right, sir. I said, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. How do they expect, boomers that are retiring now to figure that whole system out? It is so
complicated. Well, fortunately, you do have some very good government organizations called SHIP, Senior Health Insurance Program. But actually, I think they changed the name, didn't they? Didn't the lady, when I interviewed her, she said, Drew, we're SHIP, but we don't go by that acronym, Senior Health Insurance or something, whatever. Anyway, it's still called SHIP. And if you find the SHIP people in your county, they will help you do it all. So anybody out there who feels they need help and for free, the government people, no matter what your income is and what your assets are, they'll help you figure it out and so forth. And they're very good. All right?
Well, thanks, Drew. I really love your program. I look forward to it every Wednesday evening.
All right. One day we'll meet at Pub Dog and we'll have a beer together.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Steve.
They do have an outside area.
That's good. You take care. I got to go to Michael. We're going to Michael in Eastern Shore. How can we help you, Michael?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, well, you're talking about pub beer here in the Eastern Shore. We have something called Patriot Acres, which is a nice brewery.
Patriot Acres. Huh.
Patriot Acres. Yeah, it's a great place. I have a military discount, which is great for me.
Do you like craft beers?
I do. I'm not much of a wine guy, so, you know, I'm a beer man. I'm a blue collar man.
I like wine also, but my favorite craft beer are hazy IPAs, unfiltered IPAs. They call them hazy or juicy or New England style IPAs.
Yeah.
I love those.
Well,
they're excellent.
They have a big peach festival over here, and they had a peach brew that was actually fantastic.
That's
not much on sweet things.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Well, go ahead and ask your question, buddy.
Okay, I have an IRA that's pretty much exclusively through my employer that they've invested it since I've worked there. I've worked there for about 16 years or so, and it's worth about $100,000. Now,
okay.
My mom got ill. She had cancer, and I was responsible for her treatment, and I went to withdraw some money out of that IRA.
Okay.
But I was unable to do that because of it just seemed it was a lot of hoops to go through. And it was the last thing I wanted to do. So I ended up taking out a personal loan, which was at a high interest rate. You know, it was just like, I need the money.
So let me ask you a quick question, Michael. Was it an IRA, like a simple IRA, or was it a 401k?
It was an IRA.
So it's a simple IRA.
Yes, I've actually personally not invested anything into it. Now, my company has invested into it. So the only decisions I make is once a year, do you want to go with a high risk or a low risk?
And so you're sure it's not
high risk.
Is it a SEP IRA?
Yeah.
So it's a simplified employer pension plan, a SEP IRA. Okay, now here's the question. How old are you?
I'm 42.
42. Well, that's probably, well, wait a minute. That it's a SEP IRA. You should be able to withdraw the money simply and just pay taxes on the money.
They said something about having a gold certificate or something you're going to need to get to withdraw that money.
I'm not sure what they're saying. If it's a SEP IRA, you should be able to just withdraw the money and pay a penalty. But I'd have to check on that. I'm not sure what they're saying. But, you know, anyway. Unfortunately, if it were a 401k, you could have taken a loan against it.
Right.
But it's not. It's a SEP IRA, and therefore you're stuck with whatever the laws are of what the employer signed when he set up the SEP IRA. But normally, when I've set them up, people want to take money out. They could do it. They just have to pay a 10% penalty and pay income taxes on the money.
Taxes on it, yeah.
Yep. All right. Sorry.
I got hit pretty bad on taxes this year also because we do a profit sharing, and our profit sharing isn't taxed. The only thing they take out of that is your Social Security.
Yep. Yeah, I'd have
so
to get more clarification.
I owed like $4,000. I make $70,000 a year. And
You gotta hold on. I got to finalize tonight. You hold on, okay? This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Gonna be much better.